Okay, so there's a few last things for the Heter Eska. Now, the next sugya we haven't actually done. You've seen it in the Gemara. We haven't given shiur on it, so I'm not going to dwell on it now. But one of the things that the Gemara notes, the Gemara notes starting on Daf Samaches, is that whenever you enter into any type of business relationship, any type of, chatzi milva, chatzi pikadon, or anything like that, and it's if you were to split it 50-50, right, but the other person is doing all the work, so
to give more for them.
Right, so it looks like ribbis because, you know, he's doing the work for free, so you're getting 50% plus the work. So the Gemara,
and
the Mishnah,
commission.
What?
Commission.
Right. Well, they're not...
No, the bank, it's called commission.
Yeah. Oh, fine. Whatever it is. But the Mishnah says, right, you need to give him something, right? And the exact parameters are a bit complicated of how much you have to give him, right, in different circumstances, right? Sometimes you have to give him a symbolic amount. Sometimes you have to give him, you know, either accept two-thirds of the losses and give him and split the profits equally, or give him two-thirds of the profits and split the losses equally. There's all types of different formulations of it. I'm just giving for this purposes the Shulchan Aruch and the practical things, and maybe we'll get back to those sugyas, but the summary of that sugya is in Shulchan Aruch Kofayin Zayin Beis, where Shulchan Aruch says, "Anosin mos l'chaver b'torz yiskarit," if you give money to someone else as part of this, you know, business agreement, "Dahainu shechatzi ha'achrayas al hanosin v'chatzi al makabel aser," and you leave it, that 50, that you both, that you split both the responsibility and the profit, that's also shekol iska palga milva palga bikadon, because we're talking about something which is half a loan and half a deposit. Now what's going to happen is, if you don't pay him something, so in return for the 50% of it which is a loan, he's working for you on the half of it which is a pikadon, and that's sort of ribis like lefirach tarach liten lo schar tircho shebachol yom v'yomi me'ashu tafos. Therefore, really, what you have to pay him is schar batala of whatever job it is that he does, that he's no longer doing while he's involved with this, right? So it's in classic halacha, it's called schar tircha. For some reason, in most discussion of Heter Iska, it'd be called schar amala, same thing. He says, v'im hayol etek acher, but there's this caveat, that if he is already working with something else. So the Gemara had a case where, let's say, somebody has many animals himself. Whatever, he's a shepherd, and you then invest in one sheep, or whatever, or one cow, I think is the case in the Gemara. So then the Gemara says, look, how much more work does it take for him when he's feeding all of his sheep to feed the one sheep that you co-own? Not so much. So in a case like that, we say that you don't have to pay him kishar kipol batal. You don't have to pay him an actual salary. You have to pay him a symbolic salary, just so that he's not doing it for free. Now, by Heter Iska, the assumption is that the guy is doing other investments and doing other work, and therefore...
Just handling other money.
Something like that. Whatever it is. And therefore, we don't require kipol batel. We require this symbolic payment. Now, the Ginas Radim notes, that not everyone agrees with this, that you have to pay that payment up front. Right? I mean, before the deal starts. Right? That's what the Ginas Radim here says. That schar al kolim v'yom kibol batel lochein tov lo lebal abayit sheyitin eschal nesasik b'akdama debechol sheyitin lo sagi u'mashmet de'rabozkim de'en lahakvet kishir schar zev debechol midi sheyitin lo sagi. Right? So we aren't makvet at the amount, but we should give it in advance of the deal. L'chatzila, you can do that. Not everyone requires that, but the Ginas Radim does. People do it different ways. Some people... just in practical, some people will add a percent, right? They'll make it a 51%, 49% breakup. Some people think that doesn't work, but some people think it does work. Some people will
Well, the Gemara has a case of increasing the hetzer, or decreasing.
Correct,
the
hetzer. But some people think it's only at that 2/3, and there's all types of different ways. But in some of them, I mean, again, this is really we have to get to the sugya, so to do it now, just out of order. But practically, some people either do percentages. Ray Reisman in his English book says that he thinks it's okay if it's even a dollar, because he has a calculation of how much a dinar is based on the value of silver when he was writing the book. I don't know if this is still true exactly. On the banks in Eretz Yisrael, so they incorporate it, they write it into the shtar as... in terms of percentages, they find a way of including all the fees that, you know, you would have, all the work that they're doing, and then they, you know, calculate it with the fees that, you know, whatever, you know, all the fees that the banks have in Israel. So they calculate that into the loan, and then they...
charge you a loan.
Whatever, but yeah, but they come up with a way, they do have a lashon, of including some percentage of it in these shtar. But there are different ways of doing it. I don't want to get bogged down, but you'll see that basically every shtar, heter iska, will have some sort of stipulation, either a set amount or some percentage, or they'll stipulate that, you know, it's part of certain fees or certain whatever. They come up with a way of doing it, but that's what they're doing. Okay, fine. In 18, I just noted that there is such a thing as a heter iska of a kulo pikadon. Right, the classic heter iska relies on the chati mil v'chati pikadon. There is possible to make a heter iska on a kulo pikadon. You could do that. It solves a lot of problems because there is no halva, right? If you wanted to do that, right, where you really make it a full deposit, right, and you just say, then he has no achrayus, then you can still build in all the things, right, the demehit bashrut and the shvua and all that stuff, but it's fundamentally less problematic because you're not lending him any money. Now it's really just a pikadon.
But then, does really not have achrayus?
Correct. Well, he doesn't have achrayus, he doesn't have achrayus except for certain things, and then you build in the shvua and the demehit bashrut, you know, and all that stuff. But yes. Right, you know, classic one. He can't have full achrayos. Right, if it's a pikadon, he can't have full achrayos. How much achrayos he can have is a big machlokas. Right, how much achrayos he can have, but it's not practically used. There is such a thing. I mean, the post can bring it down that you can do it. It solves certain problems. But yeah, I mean, it comes down. I mean, you've seen these discussions, right, of how much achrayos can he accept for it to not be problematic. But I didn't want to get bogged down, and just to know that it exists. One of the most practical problems that all the modern poskim really get upset about is the question of what if the guy signing it has absolutely no idea what he's writing, right? He takes out a loan from the bank. We'll see a defense in a moment. So some poskim say this is ridiculous. I mean, if the guy thinks, right, if he's talking about his mortgage and he says, "Yeah, I took a mortgage out, I took a loan out, and I'm paying interest rates," and he has no idea that this is a loan, this is not a loan, it's an investment, and that he's not paying interest rates, but he has the ability to take a shvuah, that this is, you know, a percentage of his potential profits, and he can take a shvuah to get out of it theoretically. He doesn't even know that that exists. He just knows that he pays every month, you know, 3,000 shekel, of which, you know, 500 shekel is interest and 2,500 is principal, you know. Does that work, right? Can you enter into a deal where you think it's a loan? You know. So some poskim say, no, it's usher. Like, if in order for an iska to work, it has to work. Like, you have to believe, you have to understand that it's an iska. Now, normally we say that when someone signs on a document, it doesn't matter whether he understands it or not, because he's not believed to say that he didn't understand it. But here, it's like everybody realizes that nobody understands what's going on. So some people can really say it's usher. Other people say, but yeah, it does work, because in the end of the day, he signed on the shtar. And technically, from a formal perspective, when someone comes into Beis Din and says, "I signed on the shtar, but I don't know what it said," we don't believe him, because you signed on the shtar, and dvarim shebelevin him dvarim, and therefore...
But in the context of the law in Israel, we believe him.
Okay, but in halachically, we don't. In banks, there is another het there, which is when we use a heter iska klali in a bank. So there, many of the poskim say, look, when you do anything at the bank, you have no idea what's going on. You sign on like 500 papers, and you have no idea what's going on. And sometimes
you don't have a choice.
I think if even halachically you have a problem because you don't have a choice. All the bagim is the same papers and
Rural, that's what they say. So they say that anybody who enters into any deal with a bank, you know you're not going to understand. Forget halachic things. Even something which is not about ribbis, you just don't understand. You literally have no idea what's going on. There's fees, there's who knows what. You just sign that everything I'm doing is kechok habankim. That's what they say. And so some posts come and say, well, look, in a private heter eska, they would tell you you need to understand. But in a bank, you really do have gemiros das to accept whatever it is that it says in the bank law, bylaws of the bank. You're like, I don't know what this means, right? You hire somebody else to sign them for you. Like, I have no, like, you know, I signed a mortgage for my house. I do know there's a heter eska. That I do know. But forget the Isurim issue. I have no idea what I'm signing. I have no idea. I don't understand any of it. There's like these endless papers. I don't understand them in English. Called Homer. I don't understand them in Hebrew. They ask me at the consulate, do you read Hebrew? I'm like, yes, but I don't read this. I don't read legal gibberish in any language. Like, I just don't get it. I hired a lawyer. He told me it's fine. Like, so by banks, they say, look, in the end of the day, you really do have Gemara Tav. You accepted whatever it is. Fine. One problem that Poskim really don't like, they really struggle to figure this out, is that in banks, you know, there's not a problem in American and Canadian banks because they're non-Jews and you can accept interest. You get, you know, a present. You get a TV if you sign up with our... you take out a mortgage by, you know, August 1st, we'll give you a free TV. We'll give you free whatever. We'll give you $1,000, right? You know, all types of, you know, 1,000 points in your credit card, whatever. That's a real problem in Israeli banks because, you know, heter iska presumably does not include ribbis mukdemis and ribbis mukheris issues, right? Which are ribbis derabanan. They're not deraisa, right? It's before the loan or after the loan or whatever it is, but, I mean, it could be. You know, if you come to sit with us, I'll give you a gift, you know, I'll give you a gift to even sit with us and talk about the loan, right? It's mukdemis, whatever. You can, you know.
Usually, if you take out the account, then we'll...
Right. So these type of hatavot are, but they could be mukdemet, they could be mukhera, they could be, you know, they could be all types of ribbis, dvaren, they could be all types of ribbis, not ribbis dvaren, but, you know, those types of things. So some poskim will suggest that you actually write it into the heter iska, like, you know, somehow. You know, somehow, like, I don't even know exactly how you do it, but, like, that's a percentage, or you deduct it from it.
I think we have this case in the Gemara. So all the cases usually...
Would they give you TV?
No. Yeah. For example.
Yeah, so exactly.
All the cases usually... It's I want to give the bank, or I don't know, or the guy something that he... I want to convince him to give me money.
Yeah. Right, so that's usher.
But it's the opposite way. No. He's the bank. He's coming to me.
Yeah.
To give you a present to take money from him.
No, you have to open an account.
To open an account where you're giving them money.
Yeah.
To open an account, you're giving them money.
No,
no. Fine. Not mashkanta, savings account. Savings account. Right? Because you're lending them money. Right? Sometimes they do it from mashkanta also.
No,
this is a big problem. This is the post-gamer like...
No, in the mashkanta, you don't have a problem. The bank...
Lends you money. Yeah, maybe the mashkanta doesn't work. But savings account. Right, so savings account. Savings account. It's a problem. The post-game, they try to really deduct it, but they're like, this is really like... This can't be in the head. There's like, a lot of post-gamers like, this is just like wrong. There's just something wrong here.
If it happens afterwards, and you say the head there's turns it into not a halva.
No, but half of it is. That's the problem. The problem with heter iska of kulo pikadon, there'd be no problem, right? Because it's not a loan at all. But a normal heter iska, which is chatzim lo v'chatzim pikadon, right? The payment isn't because of the loan, but there is a loan
into
revach. But there is a loan. Right, exactly. That's the problem. So, yeah, that's the problem, right? That's the glaring problem. Okay. There is a huge problem. Talk about, you know, problems of different Seder Godel. Let's move on. But this is the most problematic one, but it's also the one that exists in every single thing. Is that Pashtus, is that a heter iska works as a one-shot deal. Right? The easiest way to understand is it works as a one-shot deal, because why, you know, remember, the whole svara of it is that if by time X I you know, the deal ends on, you know, next January, and it, by that point, either you pay me half of the profit or you have an approximate, but you can have a one which is mitrabev is man, right? That you pay 2.5% every year, right? Every month. Like, what is that, right? Like, oh, each month we come and we make a shvua that I don't know how much I made this month, and I agree to pay 2.5% of what's left or whatever, right? That seems to be problematic. The Taz, therefore, says, yeah, it's just usur. A heter iska just doesn't work. It just doesn't work if it isn't a one-shot deal. The Chochmas Adam, and this is what everybody relies on, is no. It works. That's what your mortgage is. Your mortgage is a joint investment that you arbitrarily set that every 15th of the month, if you don't show up to of your own accord to the bank and take a shvua that you didn't make, you know, more than 3% profit, then you owe them payment of X money. And that is how all mortgages work in Israel. Long in the Chachmas Adam, that what you think is a heter iska, it's really a million different agreements within the heter iska to come and take a shvua every month, and if you don't, then you offer them dmei hitpashrut every single month, whether the real estate market goes up, whether it goes down, it doesn't matter.
What about if it's totally open-ended, like a bank account? A mortgage has a...
Yeah, it's an open-ended. It's an open-ended. It's an open-ended heter iska klali shemitrabem isman based on multiple dmei hitpashrut and lack of shvuas. That's
more may he treasure forever, every single month, forever.
Yes.
Without any possible.
The Taz says it's usher. I gave you the Taz here, right? Hoel v'kazav lozman kitz v'kol shavua. Mikan shebechol hetirim sha'osin v'halva kigon iskav chayotibu usher lahaskir v'shar kitz v'kol shavua. Right? The Taz just says it's usher. Chachmas Adam says it's fine. And all the banks, that's what they rely on. I'm not telling you it's mutter. I'm telling you it's what the banks do. And... look, but after going through all the sugyas, I'm on the one hand, I'm like, I wish I didn't have a bank account in Israel. On the other hand, you can't live without a bank account in Israel, so that's why we rely on the esoterim, you know, for all my opposition to relying on, you know, things like this. What are you supposed to do? Okay. But that's what we rely on. Okay.
You have people that don't have a Chesbon Bank in Israel.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't
hate that.
What?
They go to the door.
Really?
Post office.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Then you don't have a commission, you don't have nothing.
Okay. Now there is
you don't take the commission. So it's like...
interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
okay. There is a real problem from... Now let's switch from the Lovet, not the non-Lovet, to the... to the ma'asik, right, to the investor. What happens if Adam lends me money, I'll be the Rasha this time, and I use the money to open a McDonald's and sell non-kosher food, not a kosher McDonald's, a Treif McDonald's, right, sell basar b'chalav. So this is a real problem, because if it was a halva'a, so halva'a was a milvei la'otza nitna, so he's not responsible what I do with the money. But the whole vort of a heter iska is it's a pikadon, right? It's a joint investment. Therefore, all the posts can say, yes, it is in fact usher, right? It is usher. Like, if a frum person wants to lend money / give them a pikadon, because of the chatzi pikadon in a heter iska, right, in the iska, if you know they're using it for usher business, that's usher. That is, and then there's problems with Schar Shabbos, which... I mean, we can solve the way we solve many other Schar Shabbos problems, but this is a real problem, and many of the poskim say you really aren't allowed to take it. Like, you just can't take the Mehit Bashrut because you aren't allowed to take a percentage of that. I don't know. But all the poskim are like, but this is usher. We don't have a heter for it. It's just usher. Okay. Fine. Now, the banks, as I've mentioned, rely on what's called a heter iskakoli. Which is, now some people just say this is usher, right? Meaning, heter iska klali is just a farce, right? Yesh mitnagdim, right? On the other hand, some people say, as I mentioned before, that it's okay with a bank. Because you have no idea what you're signing anyways, and you really do just say whatever the bank says, I agree, I don't want to think about it, I can't think about it, whatever. So who cares if one of those things is a heter iska? There's a whole bunch of other things. I still don't understand what I'm paying for. I look at my bank account every month, I have no idea what I'm still paying for in Israel. Minimum fees to the bank. Okay, I haven't been in the country, you know, I haven't used my bank account, except, I mean, now I have for my mortgage and whatever, in like, you know, about 2 years. They charge me every month, they take money off my credit card, which expired, to pay my taxes to the country that I still owe every month. I don't know how that happens, but I haven't asked questions. I don't know if I have a new bank.
This is the problem. You don't ask questions.
I just have no idea what's going on.
Ask questions.
Meaning I know that I owe taxes, so that I won't owe when I go back. I don't know exactly how it works. Okay, whatever. That's what happens. I know, it's not a good idea. Fine. Okay. There is a large discussion. I've sent out this file. It's worth reading if you get the time. Is besides the formal halachic issues, is it the right thing to do? So we mentioned in the beginning, and I'll mention it again, that the poskim here really go back to the Tam HaMitzvah. Right? According to, like, for example, Chaim David Alevi, he's very convinced that the Isser Ribbis is fundamentally a function of Tzedakah. And therefore, he says, even when you can get around the problems, the formal problems with a heter iska, he would tell you that if a rich person is lending to a poor person, or you're lending to someone who really needs the money now to start a business or something like that, he would tell you you shouldn't use a heter iska, because that's against the spirit of the mitzvah. It's against the, you know, you're being mavapa mitzvah in the Torah of lending to someone who needs. On the other hand, he says he sees no problem of using a heter iska when lending money to a bank, right, when opening an account, a savings account, because you're the small guy, they're the rich guy. So the poor person is lending to the rich person. The spirit of the law wasn't meant to defend the banks, and therefore...
In the Gemara, we have this case.
Right, so that's we mentioned this already in the first year, that's not true. And the Gemara explicitly talked about many cases where the less rich, wealthy person is lending to the richer person, hence all the cases of the
rich want to help him.
We have it in that direction, we have it in the other direction also, right? Where you're the property owner and you're lending money to the non-property owner is lending money to the property owner, and then we get into all types of questions. So it's not totally clear, but Chaim David Alevi says it's fundamentally Ribbis is about a form of tzedakah, and therefore he endorses using a heter iska for, let's say, bonds, right, where you're lending money to the government, which is richer than you, but he doesn't like it in the other direction. Ethically, Rav Yaakov Ariel is convinced that you really should only use heter iska for investments and not for loans. And he thinks that a mortgage is not an investment, and therfore says we should set up gemachs for mortgages.
What
do you want from me? I don't know. I don't know. Rav Yaakov Ben Nun, good luck. I mean, you could. Rav Yaakov Ben Nun. I know, but for all everyone's mortgages, they that's a lot of money.
Community.
I mean, I would be thrilled if someone offered me an interest-free loan and my to make it pashrut-free loan on for my house. Great. The Rav Yaakov Ben Nun suggests that we should just be makil with banks, because as we saw, that there's another way of conceptualizing ribbis, is that it's not really a problem of stock; it's a problem of achicha. Right, of the way you interact with other individuals, and banks are not individuals; they're nameless, faceless entities. So maybe there's no interpersonal problem. Ramoshe Feinstein thinks that there's no problem of ribbis if you lend money, if you borrow money. How does this work? If the bank borrows money, because since the bank is a corporation, they have no personal achrayos. So since there's no one with achrayos, there's no problem. But he would think the other way. When the bank lends you money, since you are personally liable, you can't just use the corporation. Heter Rav Yaakov Ben Nun uses more the rugged shavar svara, that corporations are not people and not obligated in halacha. The last thing here, it looks long. It's not. I just gave you the English piece because Rabbi Blechtis does a good job with it. Ramosha Feinstein has a suggestion of how to have a mortgage. Then there are different versions of this, but how to have a mortgage that follows halacha without using a heter iska with no problem. And basically, there are different versions of it, but it goes like this. Let's say you buy a million $1 million house, or whatever, $1 million one bedroom apartment in Toronto. Fine. So you borrow the money from the bank. So here it's vadai ribis, right? They want you pay them, you know, you borrow, you take out $800,000 of the loan, and then you pay them back. I don't know what the rates are in Toronto, but let's say at the end you're paying back of the $800,000 you loaned, you're paying back 1.2 naniach by the end, divided up over all the time. So that's straight up ribis. And heteriska, you know, we'll do it, and the nehidra prashut will come out to that. Ramosha said there's another way of doing it, and that's to do as follows. Instead of saying, I borrow the money and I buy the property, why don't you actually go into an arrangement with the bank and say like this: for the next 30 years, we're starting off, I buy 20% of the house and the bank buys 80% of the house. Every month, I pay $1,500, right? And what is that $1,500? So we set that X amount of it is rent, and X amount of it is buying. Meaning we have an agreement that right now I pay the bank owns 80% of this. So I'm living here, so I'm paying 80% of a rent on this property, and I'm paying a few hundred dollars to buy a percentage of the house. And we just say that for the next 30 years, as I buy more of the house, I pay less and less rent, and I pay more and more on principal. Right, it's just a combination of rent and what's it called? Rent and payment. And Ramosha said that's perfectly mutter. There's no ribis at all. We actually are in joint ownership of this property, and as I pay more towards principal, I owe less on rent. And we can just, if we want to, we can say it'll be $1,500, you know, every month, and the percentages just change and just work out the numbers, and that'll be fine. And that's what Ramosha says. That's an easy way of doing it. You're going to say, well, it's a problem. The bank wants, the ability to foreclose if you don't, pay. He said, that's not a problem either.
But that's true in the mortgage also when you own the house.
Correct. Well, he says, it's not a problem. But he said, how can you do it here, right? Because you really own 25%. He said, yeah, but so what? So you sign a document that says that.
Same thing you do in the mortgage.
Yeah, and what do? You say, as a kenas, if I don't pay the principal for X number of months in a row, I forfeit everything in the house, and then you use all the ways we get around on a smachta, right? In a bezin chashuv, situmta, whatever you do, right? You can set, these are not huge complicated factors, and then you just say, after 30 years, when all the money is used up, right, you've paid it off, so then you stop paying rent because you own the whole house, right? That's Ramosha's suggestion. Now, there's different versions of this, but they all basically come in the same thing. There really is a way of doing it. I gave you, right, Bleich, and I'm not going to read it inside, but I gave you a Bleich, goes into the details of exactly how to do this and how to set it up. Rabbi Bleich, the way he, both for Heteriska and for this document, in order to make your life simple, he says, what I suggest is writing a short Heteriska, the last, or this, you know, half lease, half buying program, and then the last line say, and I stipulate that this document should be in accordance with what is written in Contemporary Halachic Problems, Volume 2, pages, blah, da 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 da. I kid you not. That's his document. His document says that. I gave you just his explanation. So there are these other models that come up. And what Reb Bleich notes is that for a house, really, there's no reason why the banks in Israel shouldn't do this. It's not like it would solve so many halachic problems, and it's legitimate, like, lichat chila way of formulating. It even makes sense. Like, it mamish makes sense.
Try to give
and apparently there are some banks.
A paper that's not from the bank sign.
No, so apparently there are some banks, though, that in Israel, that if you push them, they'll let you do this. They'll actually structure your mortgage so that it's like this. I didn't know that until after I read this, and I already had a mortgage. But there are ones that will let you do this. He suggests that this is also an easy way to deal with cars, right? A lease, because that's what a lease is. Mamish, that's what a lease is, right? Right, a lease, many leases in America are you rent it for 3 years with an option of buying at the end. Right, so we said you could set up a house the same way. I rent for X number of years with an agreement that if I pay my rent on time, that you'll let me buy it for a set amount right now, like $1 at the end.
What is
the problem right?
With the car?
Sometimes there are loans. No, sometimes installment payments. right, to structure installment payments as a lease instead, right, with a buy option at the end, yeah. right? Instead of having a loan where they lend you money and you pay in installments and pay more, right? It was, you know, the car is $10,000, you buy it up front, and $12,000 if you pay in installments. Why don't you just say, I'm leasing it, right? And if I pay all my 12 months on time, I have the option for buying it for a dollar at the end, right? So there, you can use these types of mixed rental leases to solve a lot of the big ribbis problems, both houses and cars. That's his suggestion, or Moshe's suggestion as well. There are different versions of it, that's why I gave it to you, but that's the basic logic to it. It'd be nice if banks did this in Israel on a kavua basis. It really would solve a lot of halachic problems. Maybe that can be our, we can start a lobby to do this, you know. Maybe it'll be more successful than other ones, I don't know.
If you have a problem with the contract, you need to go to bed.
Yeah, as often as these are. Okay, we have a meeting.